My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Welcome to a new edition of the EDP F1 podcast. It's a pre-Canada edition too. Time to look ahead to the circuit Gilles Villeneuve, which is how you have to pronounce the circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
You sound French.
Oui. Now, this is, of course, the circuit where the Grand Pirelli tyre plan first came into being, the idea. I suppose it could end this weekend, couldn't it, with all the new tyres that... or not new tyres, but tweaked tyres to make the show less... whatever the word is at the moment.
Yeah.
Am I jabbering on a bit?
I'm not quite sure where you're going, but I'll pick up from that and say...
Bail me out of my hole,
see? I don't really know what's going on with Pirelli at the moment in terms of what they are doing and what they are changing. It's all a bit... I think they're keeping their cards relatively close to their chest, aren't they? I would just like to say I hope they don't do anything. I think at the end of the day, all the teams have to... I think we've said this a million times over, but all the teams are dealt the same cards, aren't they? So they should all just get on with it and stop moaning and just start racing and carry on racing.
Hear, hear, DT. Hear, hear. I'm kind of a little bit sick of talking about it now, even though aren't we? Yeah. It seems like every time we talk about how... But, I mean, although I'm sick of talking about it, at the same time, I'm not the person who's turning around and saying they should give them more dependable tyres and tyres that are easier to manage. It's the team's responsibility to make that happen. So I want the teams to stop whining about it and get it right. That's what I want in Formula 1. I want the teams to do what they need to do.
Learn it. Mm. And I've done it before numerous times. Do we like this circuit? We always have a
love it.
I mean,
love
this...
up there in my top three tracks of the year. Mm. Easily. Mm. Easily.
This had disappeared off the calendar a few years ago, hadn't it? Have I made that up as well?
Yeah, it wasn't a good year of Formula
2009.
One.
2009.
You mean the year without Canada wasn't a good year of Formula 1?
Okay, I'll take it. If it's 2009, then I'll take that. I was trying to be nice about the track. No, it's a brilliant track. It's a brilliant track. And yeah, I think I'm with you. Top three tracks on the calendar at the moment. Knocks Silverstone out of my top three, unfortunately.
Oof. The Wall of Champions.
Yeah.
And if you're not touching that wall, you're not getting the most out of the car. No, exactly. I mean, it's why it's so tense.
Sorry.
I was going to say, have you ever played any of the F1 games? Canada's so much fun to drive.
Yeah,
you know, some of the tracks can just be like, oh, I just want to get through this race. It's quite laborious, quite difficult. Canada, you just want to go on forever and ever, and it's brilliant fun.
What else would be in your top three?
Spa, Monaco, Canada.
Love it.
Not necessarily in that order because it changes from year to year, but they're always my top three pretty much.
Heady days then at the moment, Monaco off, and then to Canada
and then to Silverstone. So that's always good track
crumbs,
as I'm sure some broadcaster at some point has probably said, it's a great summer of sport.
always.
Well, this is a great run of Commonwealth sport once you get Canada and then Britain together, of course.
Ooh, so,
yeah, that's right, doing it for the Empire.
Standard question, gents. Most important weekend for Kyle?
It's a tough one. I'm going to go Lewis Hamilton to bounce back. He's very good around Canada.
He is.
I don't know if he's still got the record or he either wins or crashes.
Could be both.
Yeah. and he's got a good record around there, so it's a chance for him to maybe get back in form.
Restore the balance.
Yes, which I should. Yeah. So I think it's a big weekend for him. And also maybe Mercedes overall to see where their tyre situation is as well. So yeah, Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton.
I'm liking that. DT.
I think it's Fernando. I'm liking it. I think the problem is with Lewis is I think now he's too far away from the championship for it to be that important. Now it is important, obviously they want to get as far up the championship as possible, and he wants to get at least one or two wins under his belt before the season closes, but I think it's going to be important for the three people really fighting for the championship. But more so Fernando Alonso. He's probably done almost the best job of the three, but he's also made some annoying mistakes, which is now why he's sort of at the end of that that sort of trio of drivers. So he needs to, a good haul of points to keep himself, you know, chasing Vettel, because Vettel is just he keeps lucking into you know, big hauls of points.
Lucking into,
well, I don't know, you just can't help but feel that he that Vettel does have a bit of the sort of luck factor about him.
Because I mean, some of those points were down to just plain right deceit, of course, so that's much better than luck.
Disobeying orders and what have you, yes. Yeah. For me, it's most important for Romain Grosjean. We are now, would you believe it, gentlemen, we are now about a third of the way through the season.
Round seven.
Indeed, indeed. Crumbs. So approaching that kind of area. And he's not performed very well at all. Okay, Monaco is a difficult track. Monaco, people crash at Monaco, normally into the barriers, not into the back of other cars. But you've got, as DT said when we reviewed Monaco, Lotus have got a good pool of drivers that they can fall back on. They know their driver lineup is most likely going to change next year, at least by one driver or the other. At what point do you say, look, this guy's not getting it done, we need to find out who can get it done? We need someone dependable who's going to be in the race to rear guard for Kimi, because Kimi's a legitimate title contender this year. If you have an absolutely shocking, costly showing from Romain again, I could possibly see him, not necessarily for Silverstone, but he could be under the cosh. Very much.
It's interesting because he went into his shell when he got under, when he was put under the cosh at the end of last season. So
yeah, I think, and he, if I were Romain, in fact, if I were David Valsecchi, I'd be thinking, right, okay, carry on doing this, you know, I might be in that car before the end of the season. Mm. You know, and definitely. I think my brain's faded and I've forgotten the Lotus team principal,
Eric
Boulier. Eric, I think, he's a very nice guy, he's a very you know, patient guy, but I think even he's getting to the end of his tether.
He's quite savvy. He's been around the game a long time, and yeah, he knows what it takes to win championships, and he knows, you know, he's one of those sort of team principals that we don't hear from a lot. He's not in the media a huge amount, but he knows his game. He knows his business, definitely. And I agree with you. I think that it could well come to something quite negative for them.
Mm.
Poor Romain. Dig it out, Romain. Dig it out. Mm.
For Michael, if for no one else.
Yeah, please, goodness. I would probably argue it's a big weekend for Nico Rosberg, because I just think he could you can sort of, if they get on top of their Sunday running whilst keeping their Saturday pace, they have a serious chance this year. I think however the rest of the guys can put it together behind them, they do have a serious chance. You could also argue it's a big weekend for Pastor Maldonado, so that he doesn't get run into. We didn't even mention the big old safety car at Monaco, the first safety car of the season.
First safety car of the season that came up three times? I think about three times?
Yeah. And a red flag as well.
And a red flag, yeah.
The red flag for Pastor Maldonado.
We are rubbish.
Well, hopefully we won't have any of those things at Canada, which is why we bring it up now.
Exactly, that was the idea. The one I was going to say whose big weekend it is for is Sergio Perez, because the last two weekends he's got on more people's nerves than he's impressed. If he does it for a third race, I think Jensen is going to be the one to punch him in the face, and that would obviously make Kimi quite happy. It's the only bit of these podcasts that matters next. Prediction league, prediction time. Everyone's got their game face on. DT's coughed. He's clearing his throat, ready for the serious business.
The Oracle shifts restlessly.
The Oracle already,
ready to spread knowledge.
You know, it's spreading his knowledge like truisms. Okay, first of all, let's see what we predicted last week, gentlemen, shall we? Perry, I'll come to you first. You're top of my list.
Yeah, go for
Mercedes
it.
Mercedes pole.
Nailed it.
Really, of course,
I believe I said Nico. Weber to win.
You did say Weber,
yeah,
Weber
to win. Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame.
Toro Rosso to finish in the top seven. I bet you'd forgotten that one, hadn't you?
I had. Jean-Eric and I was Vern. One place out. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Vern, my finished goodness. Eighth. I completely forgotten that, but that's so not close. A bad shout,
it was a very good shout. Well done. Points, but well done. Force India also, no points. That was your prediction. Then, of course,
yeah, they did very well. Congratulations to Force India getting both cars in there. I've never been happier to be proven wrong.
Love it. I went for Perez to finish top five, Vettel to win, Hamilton to DNF, and Bianchi to get his first point. We were getting a bit
It got a little bit crazy. It got a little bit rambunctious. Escalated last
very
time.
Quickly.
It jumped up a notch. It really did.
And therefore, also Chilton to out finish Hamilton, but of course Hamilton did finish. So therefore,
but so did
didn't
Chilton.
Happen. I gave myself a kudos point for how ridiculous I got at the end. As for every week, apart from the first week, I got all of them wrong. Kimi remains my only success. His one win. Kyle, you said a Hamilton pole. Close, wrong Mercedes. A Hamilton win. Close, wrong Mercedes. A Webber podium, which he delivered. The winner to two stop.
That red flag.
The red flag did it, didn't
yeah.
it? And Chilton to out-qualify Bianchi, which he did, because Bianchi, his engine blew, so that did you a favour. So a couple of there for you. DT, you said a Kimi win, Rosberg pole, Perez to beat Button, which didn't quite come off, and Caterham in the top 11, which you got a kudos point for, but nothing else. This, of course, all leads the current table, although I am going to be reworking this slightly over the coming weeks. Due to a more accurate algorithm.
Yeah.
I'm like Google, I'm always working on my algorithm.
Like, Michael is bringing some improvements this weekend
upgrades.
The prediction league.
Either way, I don't know. I mean, if the numbers come out one way, but you know, exactly.
If I drop down two places, you're going to be doing the next one under protest, officially, I'll tell you that.
If so, I'll just blame Pirelli. But Kyle, you are leading at the moment.
Shocker. Shocker.
Followed by Ped, then DT, then Jack Phillips, our opening day wonder. He remains, after his one go, still fourth and still ahead of me.
Oh, my God.
That's definitely not why I'm altering the numbers, obviously. And then John Newton's at the bottom. He's due another go, so I have to get old Jay Altman.
It's close between you and me, Ben.
Yeah.
As it was last year.
I seem to recall I finished last year. I was well, fairly terrible.
It fell away at the end. Yeah. Even I overtook you at the end. So
yeah, it was poor. It was poor.
Anyway,
I promise to do better for you.
We need some Canada predictions, don't we? So, who wants to go first?
Now, I normally stump for Lewis Hamilton at Canada, and I have done.
There's a Jenson Button coming up.
No, there isn't. I genuinely don't think the Merc can get round in first place at Canada. It's a good circuit to pass on, you know. But they've got very strong straight line speed, and there are a lot of straights at Canada. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton to win. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put that out there, and I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton to win, but Vettel on pole.
Vettel pole, Lewis Hamilton
Vettel pole,
to win the race.
Hamilton to win, and Alonso on podium.
Okay.
You want a kudos one off me now, don't you? You want a little...
Not necessarily.
A little crazy.
So you can't ask for kudos points. There you are.
No. You want a little bit out of the lead.
You want to go out there.
Something to get a little bit crazy. Let me have a think. Sauber. Sauber with a good points finish. Sauber eighth. Eighth or better. Sauber top eight or better. Sauber top eight.
Sauber top eight.
Not telling you which one. You have to watch and find out.
But it'll probably Nico Hulkenberg.
A Sauber in the top eight.
Okay.
So, okay. Right, I'm going to have to write these down because I always forget one.
I'll know them down, don't worry. I'll look after them.
Yeah, you do that.
DT's hugging his phone in determined mood.
That's my...
DT has also picked the creakiest chair in the room. I'd like to point out.
I'm going to go with Hamilton for pole. Alonso to win. Kimi to get a podium, and I'm going to try for a Caterham top 12, because I want, if I keep going with Caterham, to do a top something or other, they'll eventually prove me right. So
I like it. Well, I mean, it did bypass me a little bit that Max Chilton finished ahead of Guido van der Garde at Monaco. That was a...
I think that's more because we expect better quality out of Marussia now. I think it's remarkable when Caterham finish highly, but the fact that Marussia finish highly, we're kind of almost used to seeing them in the 15s, 14s now. It's good signs for Marussia.
Come on then.
My prediction...
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm going to go for Hamilton win.
Oh, well. Perry likes that.
Yes. See the eyes Perry light up. Brilliant.
Good job.
I'll go for a pole for him as well.
Ooh.
I think it's a strong weekend for Force India, so I'm going to go for Paul de Resta in the top six. I'm going to say Jenson Button top six as well. So yeah, Paul de Resta and Jenson Button in the top six, so that's my four.
I'm sure we just used to predict pole and win. Yeah. I'm sure that used to be it. And then he got to, like, we'll do three things, and then it's four things.
Gotta be excited.
I feel like I have to give a fourth one.
Yeah, like, I feel like I have to throw something crazy out into the wind. Yeah,
the pressure is on.
Like, I predict that next race Alain Prost will be back in a seat and we'll race again. That's what ridiculous.
Alright then.
That happens, by the way.
Yeah. Ultimate kudos point.
I think we should just stop doing the podcast. I'm going to say that the person who is on pole will win the race.
That's wishy-washy, Michael.
Is it?
That's a little bit too vague.
At least give us a team. At least give us a team. Don't give us a person. Give us a team.
No, I'm sticking to my prediction. The person, because it could quite easily not happen.
Oracle's put his name on it. He said, well, Hamilton pole and win, hasn't he?
This is it. Yeah, exactly. I'm not the Oracle.
I think Hamilton win, pleased with that. So that's come off well for me. If it doesn't happen, Oracle, I'm coming for you in the night.
What else shall I go for? I'll also suggest
a car will have a pit stop if you're going for obvious things, Michael. That'd be a good one.
Perez, I'm trying to decide whether to suggest he will end up in a wall or end up top five, and I'm going to say top five. I'm going to repeat my Monaco prediction. Which is silly, really, because the logic of the Monaco prediction was that it would be tight and unpredictable, and this is Canada. And two safety cars.
Okay, all right. That's still less than we had at Monaco, so that's fine.
Yeah, as you'd expect, but more than we've had at anywhere else.
Yeah, true.
And I feel like I need to restore some of my. Let's say, has Bottas got a point yet?
How many predictions are you making?
Terry Bottas is
five now.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. Well, the first one was so bad, you see, I had to make up for it. Valtteri Bottas pick up his first point.
No, he has no points.
There you go then. Valtteri Bottas is going to prove he's going to be the future world champion with some points at Canada.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how.
It would be nice to see Valerie Botox do quite well.
Boom. Maybe you've been waiting a while to get that one in, haven't you?
just came to me. No, I stole it from someone else.
Anyone else?
He's just getting lippy now. Save those for Twitter.
Anyone else got a prediction they want to throw in?
Someone's going to hit a groundhog. They have groundhogs at the circuit.
I do.
And people hit them. So someone's going to hit a groundhog.
Like the lucky pigeon at Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's lucky. I think you basically give him a red cape and a cap. And he's El Pigeone Matador.
It was a dove.
Pigeons are too cheap for Monaco. common pigeons in Monaco.
Who said that?
They got corrected on Twitter. Someone... Crofty or whoever it was that was talking about it said it was a pigeon, and then someone tweeted in saying it was a four speckled dove or something.
I'll put it away. It's a pigeon.
We'll get corrected as well. You're going to get tweeted now,
Mike. It's a pigeon. Yeah. I mean, we could we make a prediction about the World of Champions?
Who's the first one in?
Roman.
No one in the race, but it will claim at least three people over the practice sessions.
I'm going to say Webber, the first one in the Wall of Champions.
Ooh, but he's not a champion.
No, but he's still the Wall of Champions. So okay. He's not going to be the first champion.
Oh, don't do that. That's going to take him out of the top eight then, isn't it?
It'll be Nico anyway.
Yeah, but I've got double chance then. If it's both... Oh, Oracle, I thought we were cool, man.
He can have that one. Nico Hülkenberg to finish ahead of Gutierrez.
I don't want that one. I'll say a Sauber in the top eight.
All right, I'll have that one.
Okay, you have that one. How many are you making?
I'm going for quantity, not quality.
just throwing as much as you can and hoping something sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Just you wait. You won't be laughing on my new algorithm.
Michael's 20 points ahead.
I don't know how that's happened.
Bailey with the unassailable lead.
Right then, I think we should probably wrap this up.
It's gone a little crazy.
With all our predictions. I'm sure they will all come true. Can they physically all come through? I don't think
no,
they can physically all come through.
You can't have three different winners in a race.
Not yet.
You never know.
Impressive.
With these Pirelli tyres, anything's possible.
This is it. All right then, Twitter, DT.
At Dave Tillier.
Ped.
At PedHD56.
Kyle.
At Cucumbers.
And at EDPF1, or me, at Michael J. Bailey.
And our latest Twitter feed at It's a Dove, Not a Pigeon.
Yeah.
That's our latest one. We should do this every week.
Can we tweet as the pigeon?
Can we tweet as the pigeon? Had great fun dodging cars yeah. in Monaco.
That would be it, wouldn't it?
It would have to be
gave myself a flutter. Okay. No, okay, you don't care.
It would have to be one of those fake Twitter accounts. It'd be like fake Monaco pigeon or fake
Monaco pigeon. Yeah, yeah. This is a parody.
And then someone will be like fake Monaco dove at fake Monaco pigeon. You suck.
This is brilliant. Why aren't we doing this?
Dove wars.
It's a bit like Gus the Fox. In case anyone heard of Gus Fox. No, I won't go into it. It's rather rude. But yeah. It could be the new Gus the Fox.
Am I going to have to check this book?
My problem is that I don't think any of us are funny enough to pull that off.
No, probably not.
Regular listeners to the podcast will agree.
Yes. I have my moments, but I generally tend to be far away from anyone. Damn it.